We are back with Hunter Simmons, planning director for the city of Fairhope. You're with Lori DuBose. What are some, I sent you a list of things I wanted to ask you about, and I know folks want to know, what's the latest with the Publix grocery stores, and why are we hearing there might be two located in our jurisdiction?
Well, and there is one on Battles Road in 98 at the corner there. There is a Publix that's been approved. It's unzoned, mm-hmm. so they come in for a multiple occupancy project of our subdivision regulations. That has been approved and with preliminary approval, so I think they're working out the final details. You know, a developer typically doesn't come in with what we call construction documents. That's every T's crossed and I's dotted. You know, they come in and get approved when, because the Planning Commission may change, tweak that or something, or have some requirements. So that was approved, I believe, in January. And we have, they'll go and they can start construction on that, okay. that project.
What about, we've heard one locating at 181 and 104.
I cannot confirm that that's a Publix. There is a grocery store chain. Some projects come to us, and they're, it's clear who the tenant is. And that project at Battles Road and 180 and 98, that's just a portion of the development. There will be other stores, but we don't know those tenants. The other one at 181, we do not know. There was not a name on that. It is a grocery store chain, but we can't confirm that it's Publix.
Maybe it's the Aldi everyone's wanting.
It's too big to be an Aldi. I think they own some property just a little north of there where it's probably going to be, if it comes in.
So that's still a possibility, the Aldi?
They do own some property.
Oh.
So we do not have any application or plan for
a Where is that property?
It is on 181, and Lori, I just don't want to tell you exactly because it's on 181, but I can't remember off the top of my head exactly where.
So, grocery development, not sure which one, mm-hmm. 181 and 104, then Aldi owns property they haven't done anything with yet.
Yep. They've also owned property, and they've purchased property all over Baldwin County and the southeast, I think. I think that is their plan, and this didn't come from us, but I read a plan in the newspaper that they are looking at a distribution center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember
in Locksley or Foley, and looking to expand along the I-10 corridor. So, and I believe they announced two stores, in one in Foley and one in Spanish Fork. Mm-hmm. So I would look for them to expand. I cannot confirm that they're going to be here and or when.
Okay. So driving out Section Street or County Road 3, going to a Char 32, I noticed two or three developments on the right side that may or may not be part of the Grand Hotel property. What are those?
So there are a couple of projects down there that are not a part of the Colony at the Grand, and then there are some within there. There's a couple on the right, North Hills. That is, I think, that's received final plat, if I'm not mistaken. So they're ready to start building houses. They're selling lots.
Mm-hmm. How many do you know?
I want to say that was two phases and around 40. But again, mm-hmm. We see so many things, so numbers like that, we always have to go back and confirm. Now, the Colony at the Grand is a multiple phase project. That is very unique. Part of that is zoned within the city in a TR district. So
what's TR?
Tourist resort district.
Okay. Oh yeah.
So they have some options there that other areas do not, private roads, things like that. But if you remember the condos built down there, there was some, before my time, there was either lawsuits or negotiations that happened that resorted, no pun intended, in the tourist resort district.
Mm-hmm.
And because there were 12 of those condos planned. And there was a switch to this type of development, and most of those areas down there are within the tourist resort district.
Okay. There was recently approved by voters a new planning district. Was it 17? Am I 16?
19, if I'm not mistaken.
But there's also a group of citizens complaining about that new plan and designation. What can you tell us about that?
Well, that is a completely Baldwin County. City of Fairhope has little to do, nothing to do with
outside of the city limits, so it was a county. Okay.
Yep. I'm not an expert, certainly. I'm on the periphery of that, but I can tell you that, you know, any area unzoned can, the people within that area can petition Baldwin County for zoning, to include a zoning district. And then it goes to a vote, and if the majority vote on it, that passes and it becomes a zoning district. And that's what happened in District 19, as far as I know. And they will be working over the next, they're forming a committee that will discuss each property and how it shall be zoned. So the people that live there, the people that work there, you know, will have meetings with a committee from Baldwin County, and then I believe that ultimately is a decision by the Baldwin County Commission to approve that plan. There's no schedule for that I'm aware of. But,
and once again, that's not your department, with the City of Fairhope Planning Department.
That's right.
What else do we want to ask about? The old Ruby Tuesdays, other developments around town?
The Ruby Tuesdays did not come through the planning department, so that was already had its zoning.
I see.
They did pull a building permit. I don't know where, if it's public knowledge on what it is, and I'm not real sure. I know it's a restaurant.
Right, Cafe 98.
Cafe 98, yeah. Yes. You know, that one did not go. We did have I think there was one that went to council last month that was approved. I think I'm kind of excited about on Greeno Road. The Reserve at Fairhope is a continuing care, is the way the applicant described it. So it's everything from independent living, aged 55 and up, to assisted living, to memory care, is what, you know, when my grandmother, it was what we called the nursing home.
Right, right.
It's a different, little bit of a different product than the old nursing homes we knew of. But on one site, you have all of those options. So from independent living to
where is that?
That is on the corner of Volanta and Greeno Road.
Oh, okay.
And you know, the location. One of the things for planners, we sometimes get real haughty in our discussions, but one of the things we look at is how do you include the an aging population or senior citizens within, where they're not just cut out and, you know, they're still integrated with our community. So the civic assets we have, you know, it's a great location for it, with close to the rec center, the park, you know, ball fields. You know, it's a great location, and I think the applicant really chose well on the site. They're doing their part to kind of integrate that, putting in crosswalks that's not even on their property, but just tying those together. So
okay. Do you have anything to do with the American Legion building and its repairs after the hurricane?
I do not.
That's a good point for me to ask, because I think even I can get them crossed. What's the difference between the building department, like Eric Cortinas and what he does, and the planning department?
Eric's mean. I'm nice.
Ah, that is not true.
Eric's one of the greatest guys
I've
worked with.
We love Eric, I know.
So the planning department looks at pre-construction. How is land carved up? The uses, how is it going to be used? And we try to make his job easier by looking at some of those concerns on the front end. You know, are the engineers designing it, the infrastructure properly? Are we connecting to utilities? Is there enough power at that site? Is there enough capacity for water and sewer? Are roads going to be a problem? So we look at, you know, how it gets designed and how it gets used. And then we follow through with the Planning Commission and or Council approval.
And the Planning Commission approves, and then that sends it to the council, because the Planning Commission is not a governing board. They can only make the recommendation, right?
That's partially correct. So Subdivision regulations, it's easy to separate it in two. There's some nuances, but subdivision regulations and zoning code. Zoning code is use and size and shape, can even get into how buildings look. We don't have much of that, but you know, can do that. And then subdivision regulations are how it gets built, you know, with your infrastructure. In the corporate limits of Fairhope, both of those apply. So they can have a rezoning case. You hear that often, where somebody wants to rezone from one zoning district to another, or some projects have PUDs, planned unit developments. Those are an instrument of the zoning code. The subdivision regulations and everything that applies to the zoning code goes through planning commission for recommendation, and then the city council are the deciding factor. The subdivision regulations in Alabama, the planning commission is the authority to approve those projects. So you can kind of think about it as the city council is the vision, you know, approving things and how it gets done in zoning code, and then the planning commission makes sure it's built, you know, or designed properly by the subdivision regulations. Where that's unique in Fairhope, we have such a big ETJ, and some of those are zoned by the county.
Extraterrestrial jurisdiction, yep. 3 miles, okay.
Yep. So, and some of those are zoned by the county, some are unzoned. So the cases that are just going for the subdivision cases just go to the planning commission, and they have the final decision on those. So that stops there. And then where Eric gets involved, whatever is approved, they have to then come and get a building permit. And we have multiple different types that Eric can explain better than I. But typically someone will start out with a land disturbance permit. So they go out and they install the roads. They install the gas lines, the water and sewer lines, the street trees and lighting, the infrastructure for that subdivision. And that gets reviewed and approved, and typically final plat happens. Mm-hmm. And then each individual, and every project's different, but each home builder, you know, comes in to Eric and gets a permit for that particular, each individual lot. So Eric handles the permitting, building code enforcement, fire code enforcement, and electrical code, the national structure itself.
Yes. Right. Okay. That makes sense. We're speaking with Hunter Simmons, planning director for the city of Fairhope. Before we run out of time, concerning the Fairhope Downs property, some residents wanted to know, how can a multi-lot subdivision be approved when they can't split their own property into, say, two or three lots for their kids?
And I think there's some misconception there that we don't deny, but there's standards that have to be met. So we look at, and when you say kids, it's probably ring to what's called a family subdivision.
Okay.
And the family subdivision is something that the county can do. And the family subdivision is actually an exemption to all codes. You know, so it just says, don't even look at codes. You don't have to build to any standard. You can build a 500-square-foot lot. You don't have to have a road to it. You don't have to have fire protection. You don't have to have anything. So it's an exemption. And we, as a city, were challenged. Some cities allow that. Some don't in Baldwin County. We were challenged, and in the legal opinion, the advice we received was, we as a city cannot make that exemption. So we allow any two lots. That's called a minor subdivision. We have a process for that, and they can do it. They just have to meet the standards in our code, which typically trip people up with fire protection. You know, there's a cost to development, and what a subdivision is, a subdivision. A subdivision is not a, you know, 60 lot, you know, with a sign out front. A subdivision is a subdivision of land. That's a definition in state code. So sometimes people hear a subdivision and think it's always 60 lots and has the sign out front and the little playground. That's not the case. So we look at what are the standards, and if they meet those standards, we typically support those. We have been in discussions on allowing and what we can do. unfortunately, as fast as we're growing, and last month we had a six-hour planning commission meeting.
Whoa.
1,200 pages we're reviewing. It's hard. It's one of our biggest challenges is finding the time to solve the problems created with our fast growth.
We had a moratorium at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Did that prove effective to you, and perhaps do you need another one?
Well, I was not here throughout most of the moratorium.
That's right.
So I'm a little new, and I know they were able to get certain things, but you know, when you go from a city, I believe 20 years ago we were around 10,000 population and more than doubled, and we've been for a few years now the fastest growing city in the state. That's going to come with some growing pains, and it's tough to stay on top of things and keeping ahead of the curve, because we see new projects on a very regular basis, and what makes it to Planning Commission is just the tip of the iceberg.
Wow.
You know, we look at any mm-hmm. potential projects when they come in and think about it, and you know, and that's what the public doesn't see, is the many hours we spend reviewing and those 1,200 pages and the projects that we do say, nope, we can't even support this. And so it's tough to make those amendments, but we have been working. And I explained this last week, the Monday night, that there's actually a bill at the state that could change the ETJ. So while we were digging deep into, and we do have some solutions I think will help those smaller, we can't do the family subdivision, but I think we do have some options available. We're just kind of waiting on what happens with that state bill and if it gets passed, because that could drastically change
that everything. Eliminates our 3-mile extra jurisdiction, correct?
It's in flux. They're mending and editing and doing all,
okay.
You know, so until we see what the end result is, we really don't know what we can or cannot do. So if we don't have that, we won't be reviewing any of those cases that are in, you know, outside of our corporate limits.
Then what happens? Everything goes to the county?
If they draw back to our corporate limits, that would be the next logical step.
Gosh, we need more time. It's 8:57. So when something is proposed, like the apartment complex mm-hmm. on Twin Beach, that's in our jurisdiction, outside of our city limits, unzoned in the county, does the county have any say, or is that all the city?
I'll look at Carmel Park Flats, for example, because I can't speak for the whole history. They did not review that project. As to the subdivision regulations, they do the county engineer reviews projects for the roads. You know, they still have maintenance of the road there in front of those apartments, so they have responsibility of that, and we want to include them in that and make sure they have an opportunity to. So yes, there is some review. I don't know exactly, without being working with them, exactly what those processes are, but we ensure that they know about the project and confirm that's part of our application, that they've already mm-hmm. went and talked to
okay.
to the county.
Boy, this 40 minutes has really flown by. What would you like to bring out that I've not thought to ask or address?
Oh, we could talk for another 2 hours.
You can stick around for Swap Shop if you want.
We actually have I've got to run. We're starting interviews for another project, so I wish I could, and I'll be happy to come back and we can continue the conversation. Mm-hmm. I just want people, especially in the unzoned, because it's in our human nature not to want people to, you know, tell us what to do with our land.
Right.
And I'm human. I get that. But I want people in the unzoned areas to understand that if that's the way it's going to be, your neighbors have that same right. You know, so I encourage anyone to, and it's easy to sit back and just let things happen, you know, because one thing I see, and it's not unique here, it's everywhere, anywhere I've been, when a project happens close by, everybody gets riled up, and then it either passes or fails, and then they go away. But all of these projects, most of the ones we've talked about, there's opponents of this in that vicinity. And I encourage you, whether it's with a city come talk to us about zoning. If you're close to our borders, you know, we can talk about annexation and the opportunity to come into the city and be zoned. If you're not, you know, the county is, there's the planning jurisdiction was just passed, you know, and I encourage them to learn about what zoning is and the flexibility. It's not always just, we're going to tell you exactly what to do with the land. The property owners have some say in how it's zoned and how it grows and what their vision is. And I'll tell you, in this district right now, the local folks that have been here for years, they're never going to be, have more power, if you will, than they do right now, because there's more people moving in, and the more people that move into those areas dilute their vote, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So how the future in those areas are shaped, they have more power right now than they ever will. There's more people that come in, and it's funny, you know, people from out of town, or I've been called a carpetbagger. I'm from Gadsden, Alabama. But the more of us northerners that come in are going to dictate how the future is. And eventually, if you look at what's happening around the country, as a city grows, it will be zoned eventually. But is it going to be the vision of the people that live there now, or is it going to be the vision of the people that move there, move into town, and then tell them what they're going to do?
Ah.
So I encourage them, don't just be negative. Learn about what it is and what options they have before you just, you know, throw it away. Because, yes, there are some times when if you're zoned, somebody's going to tell you you can't park your dump truck in the front yard. That's a reality, but it might be that there's a dump next to you.
Can be developed.
Yes.
Because they can do what they want with
so
their
either
land.
You know, it's the lesser of two evils. Do you want somebody to tell you park your dump truck in the back, or do you want to dump as your next door neighbor? So,
right.
There's some education that, and we'll be happy to help with those discussions, it's tough to do that. So I don't want people to think, sometimes it's hard to get in touch with us. I mean, I've had a meeting about every 15 minutes for the last 2 days. So sitting down and working till 8 last night, you know, it's tough to sit down and have those conversations. But get in touch with us. Let us schedule something. We'll talk about it, and, you know, we're pretty human too.
And everybody in the city, the email is about the same. What, hunter.simmons@fairhopeal.gov.
Yep.
Anybody you want to contact, first name Dot, last name
fairhopeal.gov. Yep.
Then real quick, because we're edging into swap shop time now, but you recently initiated Citizen Serve, mm-hmm. which is an online portal to get certain permits, right?
Yes. And applications. And that's another where I'll bring up Eric Cortinas. We're married. You know, we can't separate.
Planning and building
is always
going to
be linked. And we give each other headaches. It's the nature of the beast. It's everywhere you go. But, again, Eric and I work well together, and I appreciate him. Citizen Serve is a kind of a joint project between the building and planning.
Okay.
And we started out with the building section. So planning really hasn't got into it yet. But, yes, from a permitting side, you'll be able to apply for permits online and submit documents, so it saves time. We haven't started our process, so I don't know exactly how it's going to land, but the planning department has never had digital management of files. We're still in boxes. When we have to go research a project, we've got a line of file cabinets in boxes, unorganized boxes. We have to go digging around. So it's a way for us to digitally organize. In today's day and age, it's a way for us to digitally organize files, allow applications, and then share more information more easily out to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having a 1,200-page PDF that takes forever to download,
right?
You know, we can have maps showing where upcoming projects are, statuses. So I look forward to that. I hope that by the end of this year, we have that live and going, and it'll be a constant, you know, tweaking and improvements. Okay. Anybody that implements software like that always is, but we look forward to being able to better get that out to the public, and it helps us review. It's more efficient to review that instead of having paper everywhere.
Right. Exactly.
So.
All right. Thank you, Hunter.
Thank you.
I can't believe what time it is. We have got to go, and I know I'm holding you up for a meeting, so thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Lori. Look forward to the next time.
Thank you. Hunter Simmons, the planning director for the City of Fairhope. This was a long interview. If you missed part of it or you want to tell a friend, you can listen later, usually by lunchtime. It's uploaded on our new website, WABF 1480.